Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Some would say the Milwaukee Metal Fest is the Super Bowl of metal. May 16th through 19th at the Rave Eagles Club, featuring Mr. Bungle, Blind Guardian, Slaughter to Prevail, Testament, Avatar, Hatebreed, In Flames, Camelot, Death to All, Playing, Screaming Bloody Gore, and The Sound of Perseverance, Municipal Waste, Symphony X, Autopsy Playing, Severed Survival, Catatonia, Deicide, Terrorizer Playing, World Downfall, Possessed, Hammerfall, I Am Morbid Playing, Altars of Madness, plus 60 more bands. Get your tickets now at therave.com/metalfest.
What is up, everybody? Thank you for your patience in trying to get the podcast back up and running. We did it. Herman Lee is our guest today from Dragon Force. This is episode number 694. Just a quick intro to let you know that I finished Anjasta for All. The pre-orders are up now at martyrstore.net. Link will be in the show notes. We got some bundles up on sale. And I finished the lineup for the Milwaukee Metal Fest. As most of you know, we're back in 2024. So I needed a break from the podcast to get all this other stuff done. And we got a bunch of projects in the works. So check out martyrstore.net. Check out the meet and greet for Hatebreed's show, 30th anniversary, the big show at the Oakdale, March 17th. I think the meet and greets are sold out by the time you're seeing this or hearing this. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you like, subscribe, hit the bell. If you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, make sure you rate the episode, give us some 5 stars or whatever. This is a great chat with Herman Lee from Dragon Force. And today's episode is brought to you by IndieMerchStore.com, your one-stop shop for all things death metal, power metal, grindcore, metalcore. I mean, they got it all and we love them. You love them. Make sure you use the code JASTA10 and you will save 10% off at IndieMerchStore.com. Don't forget, Carnifex is celebrating their 10th anniversary of their album Die Without Hope. And they just did a sick merch drop. So pick up some classic and new tees, hoodies, and long sleeves from the band at IndieMerchStore.com. Use a promo code JASTA10 for 10% off. Also want to thank Dunnable Guitars, one of our presenters of the Milwaukee Metal Fest. Make sure you check out DunnableGuitars.com after the podcast today. Tell them Josta sent you. I will get you an update on if we're going to have a coupon code if you want to purchase an axe. And I will have an axe here in the studio. I'm going to riff out here. I don't know where I'm going to put it, but I'm going to put it here in the studio. New studio, as you've noticed. DunnableGuitars.com. Sign up for their newsletter. Tell them Josta sent you and check out all their killer axes. Also want to thank Century Media, the great record label. You can go to CenturyMediaStore.com after the podcast today, and you'll see new releases from a ton of bands that we have on the festival. One in particular, one of my favorites so far, is Skeletal Remains. Make sure you support them. And make sure you support CenturyMedia.store and check out all their new releases. All right, we got Herman Lee from Dragon Force coming up in just a second. But I wanted to remind everybody, for the last 4 months, we had about, 100 plus podcasts on Patreon.com/Josta. Make sure you support the Patreon if you want to go above and beyond. And you can sit in on these episodes when we record them. Patreon.com/Josta. And I am clearing out the storage room since we moved into this new space, selling it all, everything, even this outfit. I'm going to sell it right now on depop.com/Josta. So download the Depop app. It's like eBay, but way easier if you're a seller. You don't have to jump through 50 hoops. You just literally put a post up with the photo and the description, shipping price, and you're done. There's no bidding. You just buy it as is. It's very easy. depop.com/Josta. Of course, if you want to donate to the show, paypal.me/Josta or at Jamie Josta on Venmo or $Jamie Josta on Cash App. All right, we are back. Episode 694, the great and powerful Riff Beast himself, Mr. Herman Lee from Dragon Force, now onto the show.
It's the Josta Show!
Jamie Josta is in the building.
That's what's up.
Jamie Josta from the metal band Hatebreed. That guy's famous.
Coffee, death metal, and push-ups.
That's Jamie Josta. Remember Jamie Josta? You know him. He's a podcaster, but he's also a metal man.
I would say delete that.
That shit is hard.
What is going on, everybody? We're back after many moons, many months. We are back. The Josta Show is back. We got a new producer, Mike Suarez. What's up, Mike?
He's on point already.
Look at this. I got, I guess you could call this a whole new spot, a whole new rig. We got patrons joining us in a second. We got Herman Lee from Dragon Force. But before we get started, I want to say thank you to Brian for his time. Brian's full time on Dave Smith now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like all his time now.
Yeah. So go, you know, if you like the America's favorite libertarian, Dave Smith, should that be his new, his new moniker? But yeah. Thank you, Brian, for many great shows, for all the hard work. We appreciate you, and best of luck with Dave. And Robbie's over there too, right? Yeah, Dave and Robbie.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Robbie. Herman Lee is going to be joining us from Dragon Force in just a second. Let me go to the comments here and shout out our longtime patrons, a lot of whom are on the executive producer tier. So thank you. We got Jeffrey Kuhn in the house. He knows about the hardcore home improvement nightmare that I've had here. I still got people working over here too. So if you hear anything crazy in the background, got Dominique Zimmer joining us real late. It's probably bedtime over there. Mike Murray, what's up? Josta Lee, side project. Yeah, as if I don't have enough side projects. Speaking of side projects, I do have a funny thing to play Herman when he joins us, which I think you guys are going to like. Paul Faza Fairley, what's up, Paul? Says, welcome back. Thank you so much. Samuel Angeli, what's up, Sam? Yeah, so I was just watching Dragon Force. I think it was in Toronto where they have Stevie T come out. They had a whole thing on YouTube where that YouTuber Stevie T was going to join them and play Triangle. Nobody's better at YouTube than Dragon Force. If you followed any of that stuff, it's hilarious. But while I was watching it, I noticed they were loading in a venue. I noticed the side street. It's a venue I played many times, but one of the times, like maybe 10, 12, 13 years ago.
Herman's here.
Herman's here.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll tell Herman the story about the venue.
All right. So we're going to bring him in.
Yes, sir. There he is. Professional Herman Lee. Punctual, professional. One of the best. Like one of the best in the game. I'm watching you. You're bringing out Stevie T. Bringing him out to... You got a whole YouTube thing going on. I love it. It's great. How's it going, man?
Good. It's been a while. I haven't seen you for a long time. Thanks for having me on your show. Super cool.
My pleasure. Yeah, first show back. I've had a couple months off doing some production work, doing the Milwaukee Metal Fest, getting the festival back. So this is the first podcast back. We'll see how it does. We'll see if there's still an appetite out there. But I've been following your stuff, and I've always said, you know, Dragon Force is one of the most fun bands to tour with. Even from afar, when I was trying to be sober, and it was painful to watch you guys have so much fun and not be able to have fun, because I knew if I tried to do what you guys were doing, I would end up either in a grave or a jail cell or a hospital bed.
But you know, luckily we survived coming out of those crazy days, you know, the Ozfest times. That was wild, you know. The early days when we started touring in the US, that was some of the greatest, most fun time we ever had in terms of parties and all that. It was a great time. And I don't regret being, you know, weighing up with a hangover, you know. It was great.
It was something else. I had to really stay far because that was a very hard tour for me to try to not drink. And I think I only had like maybe a year or two under my belt then. But watching you guys, it was something else. I mean, I think just that Ozfest main stage, you probably lived the lot. All of you guys probably lived the lives of like 10 men in one fucking tour.
Yeah, it was our first big US tour. It was actually our second US tour, you know? Doing Dragon Force music, to be honest, when we first started, even the record label that signed us said to me, oh, we're not going to bother promoting Dragon Force in the US because no one will like your music. You know, that's the kind of shit I had to hear after signing to record label. Isn't it insane how they want to, you know? It's like, so why did I sign a deal in the first place? You know, it's like... obviously, I didn't listen to them anyway because we play in bands. We don't listen to you guys anyway. So we've gone out and just, you know, got lucky, I guess, you know.
I don't think it's luck. I think it's sheer hustle, drive, talent, all that stuff. And it's awesome because your band and you as a guitar player and a content creator, you've outlived and lasted longer than half of these labels and half of these labels' employees. And no disrespect to the hard work and label employees out there, but yeah, it's like no one's gonna fight as hard for your art and your content and your creative process than you. And sometimes you can bring a horse to water. You guys were giving them gold. Like, you're giving them literal gold. It's like, here's the money printing machine, go print it. And they're like, we don't know how to work the money printing machine, we don't know how to work it. And but you proved them all wrong, and you're still doing it. And And you're doing it with a new lineup, which people are really vibing with, which is amazing. Cause I've talked about that a lot where, you know, we know the promoters, when you lose a member, the promoters will be like, well, now the guarantee's got to get cut in half. And it's like, but it's only one guy. Wouldn't you just cut like 20% off to see how we draw it? So, you know, a lot of the behind the scenes, I don't know how deep you want to get, but you know, a lot of the behind the scenes stuff that we have to deal with.
Oh, we can get deep in this stuff. I think, you know, something that we don't talk about a lot in the interviews, and I'm happy that you brought it up. And we had tough times too, you know, when, you know, we changed singer in 2010, and we didn't get an album out until, I guess, 2009. That's when we changed singer. I think that was the last show we did of our first singer. And we didn't get an album until 2012. And after, you know, Roadrunner being bought out fully by Warner Music, while everyone unfortunately got let go, the team of people we worked with for years, that album was really difficult to make work with the whole, you know, how to say it, the few years of terrible economy for families out there. It's almost like, you know, you're going out there, you made this great album. It's like, do people still give a shit anymore? You know, at one point I thought, wow, have time really passed that quickly that people forget about the music they loved or the show they enjoyed? And luckily, you know, now our second singer, Mark Hudson, he actually made more albums than our first singer. But there's no guarantee you're going to come back, right? We had to really work for it in order to come back. Because at some point in that period, when we had our second singer, I thought, are we doing this because someone needs to put percentage in their pockets? Are we doing this the right thing? And so in 2018, I got rid of all external management. You know, I was not happy with it. It's like, there's something here that doesn't seem right. And we want to be in control of the business so we can be more in control of the art itself. So, you know, we're lucky. I think we able to kind of like, you know, we've gone past our bad few years for sure.
Yeah, no, it was impressive. And I think it was in Australia where... Was that the first tour with the new singer? Or because I was on a flight and I was like, wow, this guy's jumped right into the fold and he's like, he's meshed very well. And I'm like, I can't sit near them. I told the stewardess, like, listen, I'm trying so hard to be sober. It sucked for me because I always was like, they're having the most fun on the flights. But what I forget what that was. Was it Soundwave?
Those charter flights, right?
Yeah.
Where there's like only bands in it, and those are just insane. There's like, this is the zoo. You can't, how do you watch this fight having just metal rock bands in there? There's everyone out of control. Yeah, that was good times, I have to say. And that was, I think that was the tour for that album as well. And I really like that album. It's called The Power Within that came out in 2012. But that album struggled, even though we have the big song. And we had that song on American Idol called Cry Thunder, which,
yep.
which was cool. But I think all that work came because, you know, we carry on working, you know, carry on doing the music that we like to do and never gave up, because there's always going to be up and down in the music industry or entertainment. You know, you see artists or actors, they're in and then they're out, and we just carry on doing what we love, right? And it just kind of expanded now to content creation, Twitch and YouTube. I don't do that stuff because I have to. I do it because I enjoy. I try to find the stuff that I enjoy in it to that is fun to do. I don't want to be stuck. It's like, oh, I'm doing YouTube. I have to post 3 videos a week and I'm just like burning myself out trying to get into people's faces, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love your approach because it's fun. The everything, it seems like everything you do, it has an intention and has, but it's fun to watch and it involves everyone. And then it's fun to watch the reaction from the community because you've created such a great community around the band and following, you know, all the little inside jokes and the various things. And that's really cool because if it's almost like now they've caught up to some of your stuff that was ahead of its time. Like now that song is a hit. And it's an undeniable hit. And that was a perfect example of like, you gave them the money printing machine and now you're figuring out how to do it. I mean, I'm sure at some point you could probably even buy your masters back and reissue it yourself, or at least license it and put out different versions and whatnot. And that's the thing, a hit is a hit, which is why I love when bands like yours end up kind of proving everybody wrong. Cause then you break the mold and you become the exception to the rule. And the more exceptions to the rule there are, the less of these stupid fucking gatekeeper rules that we have. And I don't want to sound like I'm just shitting on everybody in the biz because there's a lot of great people in the biz that are doing a lot of great things, but it's like just when we get ahead, when we're like, all right, Bandcamp, we got Bandcamp Friday. I put out 2 solo records. They're on Bandcamp and they're kicking ass. And it's like Bandcamp got sold. All right, well, we'll just drove through TuneCore. TuneCore got sold. You can't get anybody on the phone over there anymore. It's like there's always somebody jumping in to get their cut, their piece of the pie. But you guys are showing other bands, younger artists, that there's ways to do it where the lion's share of the pie goes to you, and that's how it should be.
Hey, everybody. Quick interruption letting you know today's episode is brought to you by IndieMerchStore.com. That's right. Indie Merch Store is back supporting the Jossa Show, and we cannot thank them enough. Right now, they are taking pre-orders for the banging new Ingested album. This one could be one of my top records of the year. Already, the singles absolutely crush, and it's coming out April 5th on Metal Blade. The record is called The Tide of Death and Fractured Dreams. Again, it's coming out April 5th, but you can pre-order now and save 10% when you use my code at IndieMerchStore.com. Use the code JOSTA10 for 10% off. Of course, we're going to have an IndieMerchStore.com stage at Milwaukee Metal Fest with a ton of great bands. But right now, we are pumping up this new Ingested because it absolutely slays. And if you're a fan of Dying Fetus or even some of the harder, heavier hardcore bands like Acacia Strain or Hatebreed or Terror, then Ingested might have some fucking beatdowns for you. Go to IndieMerchStore.com, use the code JOSTA10. And while I have you, check out the meet and greets for Milwaukee Metal Fest over at MartyrStore.net. They are up now. And we have these Kirk Riffbeast shirts. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm rocking it right here. And we have the And Josta For All album pre-orders. It's my new album. Features Scott Ian from Anthrax, Chuck Billy from Testament, Steve Zetro Souza from Exodus, and many more. Go to martyrstore.net. Use the code MMF10 for 10% off. Now back to the show.
Yeah, it does feel like if you're a musician, there's always something, you know, against you, right? Once you figure something out, it doesn't last for that long. It's like someone else will come and kind of destroy it and you can't use it anymore. That, you know, with me, you know, with Through the Fire and Flames, you know, which is our biggest song for sure. Of course, it was in Guitar Hero 3. It was a big hit there. But one thing about that song I do like is it actually have helped other musicians that covers it get bigger. There's been a lot of people that did a cover of that and they have like 30 million views. And suddenly they able to expand their career. So I'm happy that we have a song that's not just about us, but you know, that given something back to another generation of players. So I think them doing memes of that song Through the Fire and Flames have helped us get that song onto Despicable Me 4 trailer, which was on the NFL playoff. You know, it's definitely with the fans, it created that want, that, you know, us giving them and them giving back to us. That's what I think about that song, you know.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I wondered when that happened, like, oh, I hope they re-recorded it and they own the master and they got both. Like, it'd be great if you re-recorded it and then you licensed it out and you get the whole, you know, we don't have to get into that. I think it will get to that point though, where the fans will start supporting the artists and not claiming that they're being greedy, because it's never the artist being greedy. Trust me, it's always the suits, and the suits.
Absolutely. I mean, I think most fans know, but we are the people that get paid the last, you know, when they make music. We're not like greedy bankers or greedy this, you know, we don't, you know, I mean, artists, we're like the most honest, I think, most musicians. We don't go out and, let's say you come to the show, you have a good time. The only reason we get paid is people have a good time enjoying something we do. You know, it's like, we're like, I wouldn't say the same, but we're like doctors, which make people's lives better, I hope. And so I always feel good, you know, when I see, you know, someone in the art, you know, in that kind of business, music, art being successful, because it's like, you know what, he earned it and he didn't make something to make someone's life misery, you know, to make that money.
I love that. You're right. And you'd be hard pressed to find somebody who leaves a Dragon Force show without a smile on their face. And that's, to me, is like the biggest achievement, because there's so much shit that is out there in your regular everyday life where that time that you're at the show, like I'm watching this video, I felt like I was there. Like when you bring Stevie T out. Oh, by the way, that venue. So in the beginning, when they're showing the buses loading into the venue, I won't say who or what band, but that's a venue where you can't open the side door during sound check or during the show because the neighbors complain about the noise. And it was driving me fucking crazy because I didn't want to have to go out to the front and enter through the front because everybody had already started to line up. And when you got a shit and you got a shit bad, or if you like, because I forget what it was. I ate something really bad and it was like I had to shit multiple times, like 6-7 times. And I'm like, I got to get this all out before we play. But then when the fans were lined up so early, when you got to shit, you can't stop to take pictures and talk to everybody. You got to just be able to go in. And sure enough, one of the opening bands, I won't say who, but this guy is a fucking legend. The lady who kept complaining, she was out there smoking a cigarette. So he goes over there because she was listening, like waiting for someone to open that door, and then would call the cops as soon as it would happen. He goes over there and like brings drinks, brings booze, smokes. I think they brought her some weed. He started getting her waste. I think he actually hit it too. I think she invited him in. And then while he was partying with the angry neighbor, we could just go in and out while all the noise was being made, and she stopped complaining. It was fucking legendary.
You know what? I know the feeling of that when you're just stuck in a venue, you can't get out. And but one thing, you know what? Since being a content creator on Twitch, you know, you can find me on Twitch all the time, on YouTube, I'm liberated. These days, I just walk in and out the front door. If people say hi, I say, hi, thanks for coming to the show. You see me on Twitch. I'm there. What time? Every day, you know, of that week. So I don't even care anymore. I'm like, feel so good. I can just walk through the front door and say hi to the fans that are coming. And I just say, thank you for coming to the show. I'll see you in a bit, you know? You know, the old days, like earlier, 10 years ago, you kind of keep that mystery. You're a rock star. Let's don't get seen. You know, some managers say, don't get seen. The first thing they see is when you're on stage, nowhere else. You can't be going, no, I don't really care. You know, they see me all the time.
Yeah, now you're the exception to the rule. No, it's great. That's how it was on the Lamb of God cruise. It was amazing. Like, you just walk out and people see the podcast, or they've seen us before, been in the meet and greet, and everybody's so cool. There's, I think in the past with those cruises, you've been on them, right? Like, people used to think like, oh, it's going to be Punishers. It's going to be people up in my face the whole time. But it's actually, everybody's really cool. Like even when I was gambling and stuff, they'd come and sit down and give you a high five, give you a hug. But yeah, you're right. It's better to just get out there and just be out in the mix. We call it Gen Pop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think the fans want to see the real us. And we actually want to be the real us as much as possible. I'd rather just, you know, if I could, I would just be in my pajamas all day until I have to get on stage and walk around that way. You know, they probably actually rather see that. And I know from just doing Twitch a lot, they love seeing me making mistakes on the guitar. It's like, yes, you know what? He's one of us. He's human. So I guess, you know, doing this, probably you, the same thing doing the podcast, right? Showing more of yourself, you feel like kind of less weird sometimes when they're fans, maybe you see them in a shop and supermarket, you know? It's like, ah, we know that guy. He's cool. We're not going to bother him, you know?
Yeah, no, they used to yell like the lyrics and stuff and it would freak me out. But now it's like, it's definitely more chill. You reminded me, I wanted to ask you when the last time you guys train wrecked anything live, because we did it. Shit, where were we? Was it last year? But we hadn't done it in a long time. And then and people loved it. And they just restart the song. But the crowd loved it.
What happened? I think at one time, I think we all played the wrong song. The set list was wrong on stage. For some reason, people have different set lists. There's like, and then the drummer started a different song. And then the tempo is the same, right? So, you know, we play two different songs, the same tempo. It's like, what was that? It sounded horrible. And it's like, because we got our own in-ears, you weren't sure for like a while if it's you or someone else. So, you know, you just can't hear everything exactly. So when the singing starts, you go, wow, this is just fucked up. You know, we got to stop this. And then fans love it, right? Because they got a special moment that was unexpected that you couldn't see anywhere else. So we create those special moments for them. That's why they come to the live show.
Yeah. And when you're talking about, you know, hitting a flub here and there, hitting a clam or whatever, it's almost endearing. But you guys, I got to say, especially in the heyday of the partying, I don't remember any clams being hit. I used to be like, how do they do that? How do they drink all that and remember every fucking note? There's so many notes. I'm like, they're going bonkers up there. But do you remember the last time you really botched a solo like live or really botched a riff live?
You know, these days we're so professional, I have to say. It doesn't really happen that way anymore. Usually if something happens, it's like a gear, there's a power cut, electricity cut off. It's like, oh, we can't hear what's happening. We got to start this song again. Some kind of technical things that you wouldn't expect. But, you know, we're older and wiser now. And we've invested a lot of money on gear. You know, gear is one of those things. When you first start off as a young band, you don't have all the best gear that some other bands have, you know, that they have. The record label bought them, invested in them. We're just this band of like, these guys just get together, have fun. So it wasn't we didn't have the infrastructure of support of some bigger bands. You know, when they start up young, they have a major label, they got all these advance, they can buy gear and they have all professional help. We're just like, let's put this together. It's all really much kind of like DIY thing. So, but now we're pros, man. You know, it's hard to say, but yeah, we don't fuck up anymore.
Yeah. We just did a residency like at the same venue, like four nights, sold out every night. And it was, there was a couple songs, B-sides that we'd never played live. And right as we're about to start them, I can't remember the lyrics. And then it just kicks in. And I'm like, how the fuck did my mind grab it? Like, how did I, because I was nervous. I'm going to forget the lyrics. There's a hundreds of fucking different songs we're going to play over these four nights. But is that what happens for you when you're about to hit a riff or a lead or a bridge in a song? It's like muscle memory.
Yeah. If I think about it, I might not get it, but if I just let it go, just keep flowing and relax, everything just kind of become autopilot. Right. That's I guess playing a lot of guitars and playing those songs a lot. That's kind of what did it for me. The way I kind of train myself these days is, I would not go on stage and play a song unless I can run around and play it. because if I can't do that, that means I don't really know the song. Knowing the song is not about being able to play, it's about being able to play it, not even thinking about it. Yeah, the muscles is part of you now, like athletes, right? They don't think about anything.
Yeah, it's just second nature. So the touring for the rest of the year, and shout out to Ty from Lords of the Tyrant, Lords of the Trident. We just added them on our first night at Milwaukee Metal Fest. Get your tickets at therave.com/metalfest. He's been making these great videos of like different bands ordering a coffee. Go subscribe to their YouTube. But you're headlining their fest, right? Dragon Force is headlining Mad with Power Fest in Wisconsin.
No, we haven't done that festival. It hasn't aligned with us in the stars hasn't aligned about timing yet.
Yeah. All right. So okay. So do we have to edit that out? Because I heard a rumor that you were gonna do it.
No, we're not doing it. You can edit it out if you want. Yeah.
Shit. Or are you doing it and you just can't announce it?
No, we're not doing it. I think there was an offer that came in, but doesn't fit on the touring stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope you do it because they're up there in Wisconsin supporting metal, and we're trying to do the same at Milwaukee Metal Fest. But we, you know, normally, have you ever been to that fest in the past?
Which one?
Milwaukee Metal Fest.
You know, I've never been to it. I heard. You know, about it, of course. I've never actually been there.
Yeah. Were you ever down for like the death metal and the black metal? Were you ever down with all that stuff?
Oh yeah, I was. So we were into like, I guess, our childhood growing up. You know, heavy. We listened to heavier stuff, sure. You know, death metal, the melodic death to kind of brutal stuff. That kind of made us. That's why Dragon Force play fast, because we have that influence, the thrash, the heavier stuff. But you know, living back in England. At that time, you only hear about the Milwaukee Metal Fest. You never actually get to go to. You just saw just like a. You just never thought you would even go and play in America. So, you know, I hear about the festival. I never thought it happened. It's kind of strange. Now I'm living in Los Angeles, you know, full time. it's kind of, you know, I don't want to be that guy that says, oh, don't believe everything. You know, look at me. I'm able to have to make it happen. But it's true. If you work and put your dreams in front of you and try hard, you can, it's possible to get there.
For sure. No, you guys need like a film, like a full film. I know you have like little documentaries and little things out there, but have you ever done like a real pro shot or plan to do like a real pro shot documentary just of all the fucking good and the bad and the peaks and the valleys?
No, you know, we film a lot of stuff in the past, like little cameras, camcorder stuff and footage. Now social media, it kind of taken a lot of that away, the footage. You know, you're always trying to promote the tour and show a bit of yourself. So I feel like social media have taken it away. And actually, I think my wife's going to beat me to a documentary. She's going to be in one. So she's going to beat me to it, you know, for her job. You know,
yeah. Really? Can you tell us what that's about?
She's the litigator of the... recently of the, what's the case to do with strippers trying to unionize.
That was her case.
Yeah. And it was all in the news and everything. So I think everyone's trying to get her to be part of the documentary and things like that.
So strippers unionizing, will that include like OnlyFans too?
You know, that was just a strip bar. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know the case exactly how to describe it, but it was like in Los Angeles, there was a bunch of strippers was trying to unionize, and then they kind of got not treated correctly, the league, the law and all that stuff in the United States. So that was a big case for her. So she's going to beat me to be in a proper documentary.
Nice. Yeah,
and she's not, she doesn't do entertainment. So it's kind of funny.
I'll have to check it out when it comes out. So what's your top, what's your Mount Rushmore, your top four strip club metal or rock songs?
You know, I am not a guy that go to strip bars. I don't think I only been to that because a friend had a party. I'll confess, I'm just a nerd. I'm really a nerd that sit there, practice the guitar and play video games and do stuff like that. I was never into going to those places, you know? I'm kind of the quiet guy. I don't like to be loud and be seen around, believe it or not, you know?
See, That's why you got all those guitars and I only got two over here. Because all those dollars that I put in G strings, I could have just bought some sick fucking axes. Do you ever pay for a seat for the guitar on the plane like John Five?
No, because I have so many guitars, I just throw them into the check-in. It's like, you know what? I can get another one. That kind of thing. And if it both breaks, I'll just get it glued back and fixed. Kind of give it more personality, you know?
Right on. What's the best like bargain guitar? Like what's the best beginner guitar that you like? Like that's affordable for someone who might see this, who's a young kid or listen to this with their parents or whatever. We do have a lot of parents, you know, aside from talking about the strip club songs, we do have a lot of parents that will listen to the podcast with their kids who are getting into music or getting into metal. What's a good like starter axe?
That's a good question because I get this question a lot. And to be honest, just get the cheapest thing you can get. It doesn't matter. Use whatever you can get. You can put six strings on it. And that's the way to start. And it's better to start that way. I would say not spoil your kid. It's like, don't buy them a Lamborghini as the first car. Start with a piece of junk. They have to work for it to get the next good thing. It's like part of the training of the art itself. It's not spoil the person with something too good. And see if they're into it. If they play this piece of junk that you bought somewhere or someone gave it to you, you know, and they enjoy it, that's going to give them more happiness and give them more fight, you know, to get that next instrument. So don't let the instrument that to be something that's going to stop you learning. You know, just go for it. Get anything you can get.
Wise Herman Lee. Yeah, you're right. Because I have a Yamaha over here, like I think it was $20 at the thrift store. And I've written some sick shit on there that I'm, you know, just plays good. The neck is good, but it's, yeah, I think it was $20 or $30 at the pawn shop or thrift store or something.
It's all in your brains, man, to make it happen. You got the will and you can do it. And I'll tell you, my daughter will not be playing any of these guitars to start off. I'm going to go and, you know, I can get expensive guitars for nothing, right? For free, but I'm gonna buy her a piece of junk to start. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm that dad, you know.
That's great. Yeah, mine's 25. So my daughter's 25. So just enjoy it. How old is yours?
4.
Okay, that's a great time. See, that's great that you're home now too. A little bit more, right? You get more time at home. That's one thing I wish I could go back and do is because doing 300 shows a year, grinding it out. But then again, it's like we have everything we have because of that. So it's a trade off. But I know that people are gonna write in the comments that what the best strip club metal songs are, and I just want to tell everybody they're wrong, because right now I'm going to tell you what they are. It's Rob Zombie, Living Dead Girl, Nine Inch Nails, Closer, Girls, 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 Motley Crue, and then shit, if I had to have a fourth, I would do, well, if you're a real creep, you pick a real long one like Tool or Rush or like or Iron Maiden. Like the DJ knows you're up to no good. What's the longest Iron Maiden song there? The Flight of the rhyme of the where you go into like the champagne room and they're like, no, you can't have a 16-minute song.
Like, you know, I don't even know how that things work. I learned a little bit about how strip bars work because of my wife's, you know, case as a job, you know. You know, but I'm too nerdy, to be honest. Yeah,
very good, very good. You're very good. I respect it because you don't get away with anything. Like they'll see this, people will see this and they'll be like, I'll get shit for it. And let me read some comments too right here before we get to our segment. So we have a segment, and shout out to our patrons. We got Jeffrey Kuhn in the house, Dominique Zimmer, Mike Murray, Sam Angeli, Paul Faza Fairley, JJ Hernandez. We got a lot of, all right, Jacob Arnsberg from Denmark, Fernando Somoza, Mike Murray. Did I already shout you out? Anyways, we have a segment where we compare riffs and we see who, if anybody is owed anything. I never say like sue anybody. I just say, just buy them a sandwich. Like don't, if they want to share in the pub, like if it's egregious and you're like, hey, listen, you owe me, like you took the riff, like you got to hook me up, give me 20% or whatever. That's on them. But I say just buy him a sandwich. So this is our segment we call Yours Is, Ours Is.
Yours is, listen, yours is and ours is. Yours is and ours is. Yours is and ours is. Yours is.
Listen to me, listen to me.
All right, so for our first Yours Is, Ours Is segment with Herman Lee, the great, the responsible, the professional, the powerful Herman Lee, we have a band. I love this band, by the way, so I'm not knocking this band, but many people sent this. We still, even though we haven't done this segment in years, we still get at least 2-3 a week. Many people send this in. This is from a band called Enterprise Earth, who are, we played them on our music show. We played them on Patreon. People love this band, respect this band, but listen to this first riff and tell me if you think this sounds like anybody. Let's hear this first. And Mike, what song is this again?
Casket of Rust.
Casket of Rust. Enterprise Earth. Great band.
Queuing. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. Does it sound similar to anything? I love this dude's voice, too. When this shit kicks in, this dude's voice is great. All right, well, it's just that first one. All right, so now we're going to hear, and shout out to everybody who sent this in. I like four different people sent this in, so I'll get you a shout out on the next show. I don't remember who sent it, but now we're going to hear Ghost. Cirrus? How do you say the song title? Cirrus, right? I think that's how you say it. What do you think, Herman? Does Enterprise Earth owe Ghost a sandwich on this, or vice versa? All right, you want to hear the first one again? One more?
Let's hear the first one again.
Okay. Maybe a Subway sandwich. It's not. It's pretty. It sounds close to me. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's obviously you hear the similarity, but it's a very common way of playing the guitar, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's kind of coincidence, to be honest, that there's that movement in the guitar is very is very normal. You probably do that by accident, just moving around in the chord progression. So, you know, give him some fries, I don't know.
Right on. No, yeah. I think in comedy, like if a joke is similar, they call it what, a parallel thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I would say Ghost won't care about it.
No.
You know what I mean? Ghosts get that level, you know, they're not going to care about it. And there's a little bit of similarity, but it's really short, you know, and it's not like the main thing that you hear. So I think it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think so too. No sandwich needed. And if they want to, great. If you see them around, but you're not going to know what they look like anyways, because of, right? Or do no, you know what the one guy, the singer, right? Everybody else is the ones that are, what are they called? I forget. But shout out to Enterprisers. We love that band on the Patreon. We've bumped their shit many, many, many times.
What's up, everybody? Just another quick interruption here, letting you know today's episode is brought to you by Dunnable Guitars. The great and powerful Dunnable Guitars is helping us present the Milwaukee Metal Fest 2024. They support us, so we want to support them. You can check out their site at dunnableguitars.com. You will see all the new models. You will see the Dunnable USA pickups. You can get all the info there, sign up to their newsletter, and we will have a bunch of updates on Donable very soon for you, and hopefully a coupon code if you want to get the maybe you want to get a custom made, maybe you want to check out some of their axes that they got up right now. The one I've been looking at is this Yeti USA standard custom. This shit is badass. But you can check out all the guitars at dunnableguitars.com. Big thanks to Dunnable. Now back to the show.
All right, now we're going to play Fuck, Marry, Kill, but for songs or for bands. So, and I'm not going to tell you who the band is, Herman. So I'm just going to play you just a quick snippet, and you're going to have to do Fuck, Marry, Kill. If that's okay. I don't want to make you uncomfortable. Like, if, you know, it's all in good fun. All right. So I'm not going to tell you the name of the band, but Fuck, Marry, Kill. All right. You ready? This one's hard. This band is fucking crazy. Can you hear that? All right.
Not coming through my speakers.
It's a little low.
How's that?
I hear it.
This shit's great. See, I love death metal. So, like, I love it when it's so ignorant. All right. So that's one. I'm not going to tell you the name of the bands yet. So we're just going by band one, band two, and band three. And I'll speed this up. We don't have to listen to the whole track. All right. So this is band two. All right.
I'm hearing it through the mic, by the way.
Oh, you're hearing it through the mic?
Yeah, it's not rooted through the...
What about this? Can you hear that? Yeah. That's band number two. We're doing Fuck, Marry, Kill. Now we're going to go to band number three. How do you liking them so far? Like, who do you prefer, you think?
I like the first one at the moment.
The first one?
Yeah.
Going hard. What's the hardest thing in your playlist? Like, what's the hardest music in the Herman Lee? Like, when you're on the treadmill or you're working out, not that you need to work out, but...
I don't know, maybe Crytopsy, the early stuff.
Oh yeah. Fucking Whisper Supremacy, None So Vile. Hard. I love Cryptopsy. All right, so here's band number three. All right, here we go. Tell me if you can hear this. All right, so that's band number three. All right, so Fuck, Marry, Kill. Let's hear it, Herman.
I gotta say, I like that last one. It gave me a bit of a Testament feel at the beginning, and then it just went all over the place, and the vocal just like it got that note. I don't give a fuck kind of vocalist. I like that. But I like the brutality and the speed in the first one. You know, that really like, fuck, yeah, let's go. You know, I would go for that one. That's my favorite out of the three.
All right, but you got to choose. Would you, for that band, would you fuck, marry, or kill them?
That's a good question. I think I'm going to... Fuck the first one.
All right. It's actually a girl singer. They're called Stabbing.
Oh, okay.
They're playing a Milwaukee Metal Fest. She's brutal. She's awesome. So you know, at least you'd keep it. It would well, we don't have to get into all that. Not that there's anything wrong if you were okay. So then who are you gonna marry and who are you gonna kill?
I'll marry the third one.
That's me. That's my solo record.
Oh, really? All right. I like the don't give a fuck going out attitude, you know?
Thank you. And Josta for All. That's the name of the album.
Yeah. And I got to kill the middle one. That groovy kind of stuff is cool, but I don't want to hear that. I heard enough of that. Yeah.
All right. That was Kirk. Sorry, Kirk. That was Kirk's new solo record. A little teaser there. So two of them are not out yet. The third Stabbing, we just confirmed them for Milwaukee Metal Fest. We can't wait to have them. They're going to rip it. So that was great. Thank you, Herman. And now before we get out of here, I just want to tell us where everybody can like find your stuff, right? Because you're on multiple platforms and I want to ask you about each platform if that's okay. Cause I think this stuff is fascinating. I think more people should be doing what you're doing.
Yeah. So obviously for educational stuff where I analyze music and for music videos, that music that I do, Dragon Force YouTube, that's where you get the stuff. You know, I analyze shit from Machine Gun Kelly. Can he actually play the guitar? To, you know, obviously the Dragon Force music. We try to give a bit of educational stuff like how to set up the guitars, how do you fix this shit, you know, in the world of guitar and music. So that's the Dragon Force YouTube channel. If you want to talk crap to me, Twitch, I do my live stream twice a week most of the time. Around this time, but hey, I'm talking to you, which is way more important. So Tuesday and Thursday, usually about 1 p.m., you know, Pacific time. And I do reaction, you know, I jam guitar, play video games. And if you want me to do some really stupid joke shit, usually TikTok, I like to do some stuff and do some collab with other people. So, you know, and then you got the Instagram and all that stuff. And that's just the usual stuff, I have to say. But at least I try to separate those contents. You know, some stuff work better on TikTok and stuff. Some stuff works better on YouTube. That's it.
And do you do all the editing and everything too? You do it all yourself?
I used to do all of it. I stopped doing it like, I guess, a couple of years ago. I just didn't have the time to do it. I used to do the thumbnail, the editing, you know, during the pandemic, I had much more time. Now I don't have the time because, you know, I still got to play in a band.
And you have them all monetized? Like, which one is the best for you know, getting like, I don't know, is it a monthly check? Is it a quarterly check? Like, which one is the best, do you think?
I think YouTube is probably the best, I would say. You know, like I don't ask people to donate me money. You know, I don't do that. It's like, I'm just there. You guys like the content, you watch it. That's just me being me. I don't want to ask people for stuff. And so, you know, YouTube and Twitch are good. But I would say if there's one, the best one out of all of them is definitely YouTube, right? When it comes to monetizing for any content creator or musicians, if you want to make a go at it, I think YouTube is the one to do right now. Right now, maybe time changes. At one point it was Twitch. It's kind of switches around the scene. So if you want to make it in music business, I think you got to be active in all the platform. If you're coming up now, you know, not the old school guys, but now it's important to be doing all of them. I think all the new musicians gotta be content creator and understand how that world works, because musicians, you're technically an influencer anyway, you know, without wanting to be. So you must understand how the whole business works. That will help you be able to make the music you love even better. Yeah.
And it's a different audience on each.
Yeah. You know, TikTok, you know, TikTok is the funny thing. It's hard. You know, the transition, right? There was MySpace transition to Facebook and then Instagram. Those transitions were easier. I think a lot of bands and musicians have real trouble transitioning into the TikTok. And TikTok bring a new audience as well, completely. And that's a lot of musicians haven't been able to crack how that would work. But it's basically a mini YouTube, I call it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like, I don't know, we had some video go viral on TikTok. I think it was like they put Destroy Everything to Cats or something. Or no, it went viral on Facebook first, but then it started going viral on TikTok. And everybody's like, why aren't you on TikTok? And I guess eventually we'll put the podcast, once the podcast is back up and running, like full speed, we'll put some clips up there and stuff. But it does seem like there's a different audience for each, because when we post about Milwaukee Metal Fest on Instagram versus Twitter versus Facebook versus what's the other one there? I forget. Oh, YouTube, obviously. Like, but I see still people will respond on YouTube community. Like I always tell people, especially all these bands with 100,000 plus subscribers, like, why aren't you promoting your shows and your merch on your YouTube community page? Like you go on their community page and there's no posts for like years or months on end. And you think you're missing out because that you might grab the algorithm there and you might have people see it, whereas they don't really see it on Facebook. And the censorship thing too. I mean, I know you're not doing content that would involve censorship, but I'm sure you've had issues where they not strike your channel, but you get what do they call it when on YouTube? I'm always getting in trouble on YouTube.
They give you a strike up your eye. And actually something happened to me recently. Someone was thinking that they own one of our songs. It's like, well, you don't, you didn't write it. But you know, they kind of didn't understand how copyright work, and YouTube just believed them and tried to take our channel down, which is insane. However, you know, since we talk a lot about the music business and YouTube and stuff here on your channel, which is great because I've done a lot of interviews and you really bring up a lot of great topics here. And I want to talk to you about this. Is musicians now face this problem? Is where do you put your music video? A lot of them put it into the record label website. You see Nuclear Blast, you know, labels like that. They have the music videos, and artists are not using their own YouTube channel to do that. And it's a real tough thing that I have to think about. What do I want to do? Do I want to put in the record label site, which is much more active because they're always releasing music, right? They have other bands and the algorithm, which is going to work better. You might get more views, but at the end, I still think it's better to put your own personal YouTube channel instead of having that instant glory. You're building something of yourself. You have your YouTube channel, you get your own subscribers. And when you do your tours, like in the United States, those tour dates will show up on your music video. If you put on your record label website, they don't show tour dates of where you're playing. You can't change the description and tell people when your next tour is coming, when there's merch. You know, you're working for the label to advance their channel. So I think all bands really, at the end of the day, you got to make your own YouTube channel and put it on your own thing. It doesn't matter. You don't get your first more views, maybe, but you know, there's no easy build up for anything.
You're right. No, I totally agree. And I think that the premieres on certain websites, that should go away too, because they don't get the traffic like they used to. And then it's like unlisted for that certain amount of time where you're going to miss all those people on your channel. And I know there's the argument to say, oh, it's preaching to the converted on your channel. But we found throughout the years, like, some of our lowest performing videos are the ones that where the label posted, but, or the ones where like the label said, no, you don't have a budget. And we paid for the video. Like I think Destroy Everything, it's got to be 10 million plus. And we paid like 1200 euro for it or something of our own money. Cause the Roadrunner didn't want to do another video. They were like, nah, you had your chance. And we're like, but the record's selling. Like, and sure enough, now it's a smash and you know, it's played at every show. And you're right. If that was on our channel, we probably would have got to 100,000 subscribers much sooner on the Hatebreed channel. But one thing I noticed with YouTube is that they've changed the algorithm now that music videos are very low on the priority scale. And I think bands need to start doing more shorts and dicing up their other content to make shorts. So that way, hopefully you bring in people through the shorts and then they stay for the longer videos. But who knows? Maybe they'll change the algorithm back because there's a lot of big artists, I think, that are upset about, you know, the deprioritization. I don't even know if that's a word. Maybe Mike can look that up. I can't even say it.
Prioritization.
Yeah. you know why that is, right?
Tell me.
Because the ad revenue the revenue is on the music video is much lower than like a review of a video camera or graphics card or a computer. You know, the ad, I can't remember the exact term now, but the ad, you know, how many views per ad, you know, so they're going to promote the stuff that going to bring them more money in terms of ads. So like I said, as a musician, you always got something up against you. And once you think you figure it out, they change the algorithm and they you got to rethink it. So it's tough for us. So never, you know, how to say in the world of music, we always want the other musicians to be successful. If it's not you, someone else, please be it, because we all, it's, don't blame the player. It blame the game. You know, we're all just trying to do it. So we all got to help each other out and as much as possible. There's, you know, the artist pool is getting smaller and smaller, you know, it's harder and harder to start a band. So give whatever support you can to all the content creators and musicians out there.
Yeah, I agree. No, that's great. It's like an abundance mindset, which is key, because if you squander it and if you think we're all fighting for crumbs, and that's what is going to manifest. But if you believe in abundance and you share the wealth, then that will just compound and grow. I totally agree. And I like that you're doing that with other content creators who probably expose Dragon Force to a completely new audience, right? Like Stevie T is not like a metal channel with a metal audience, right? Like what is his content?
I guess he's kind of a rock comedy channel, right? Stevie T. And it's funny with Stevie, you know, he's obviously a Dragon Force fan. He grew up, you know, listening to us. But he never played live before, and he had this stage fright. I don't know if I should even talk about it. I guess he talked about it in his channel. And we're able to kind of help him and get out of that zone. You know, first time we actually asked him to play bass for us, and then he didn't do it because he said he was too anxious. He can't face crowds and all that. And then finally, I kind of forced him to come on stage and play with us. And now he comes out every time we're in Toronto because I feel like we kind of help him in the same way, to get out of just being a YouTuber in front, behind the camera. You know, so many great YouTubers that are so confident in front of the camera, they have their problem interacting with people in the real world. And it's normal. It's, you know, I'm happy that we're able to get a few of them out. You know, but on tour, we actually try to get as much content creators to come out and jam with us on stage. You know, because they don't really get to do it. And they're super talented players, you know, but starting a band, doing all that stuff, getting a gig is hard these days.
No, I know. When we were on Warped Tour, I don't know why we agree. I don't know why we did it once in 98. We're like, never again. But then we did it again in like, I don't know, 2017, 2018. And we're like, I saw these YouTube personalities. They were rock stars. They were like, people were freaking out when they would see him. But yeah, I love that you guys are doing that. I saw you had Nick Nocturnal up there. Shout out to Nick. He's more Twitch though, right? Well, no, he's both. He's both, right? Like he's like you. He's a man of many platforms.
Yeah, yeah, he's both. He's great. Yeah, we had him on stage too with Stevie T that time. And then we had Cole Rowland, another YouTube guy, but he's like a real performer on stage. So we had him playing Through the Fire and Flames with us. Like, let's pick a hard song for a guest to come and play 7 minutes and a half. Yeah. But yeah, you know, I guess times have gone past now. I'm kind of older now that I finally meet guys that grew up listening to Dragon Force and now do their own thing. They didn't just try to copy something they like listening to. And that, because like you, right, I came from nothing. I started a band. I bought a guitar. I had one guitar at the beginning and I played that until it's fallen apart. I understand how difficult it is to get up there. So we try to do our part as much as possible to give the younger generation an avenue for them to kind of, you know, go beyond what they do. Because, you know, I got my break, not everyone get their break. So let's help each other out.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I love it. Do you, is there anybody that you haven't been able to get from YouTube? Like any content creator that you really want to collaborate with or have come play live with you that you haven't been able to get yet?
A few guys haven't been able to get on because they were busy. Like the Do and another super talented player on YouTube. I think he's probably the number one for like guitar solos now, the Do. I don't know how many millions. So, you know, hope to get him to come out and jam for fun. I don't think he ever played live either, you know, and
really? So,
yeah, yeah. I mean, awesome player. He doesn't show his face either. I said, look, come on, put your mask on. Don't worry, won't tell anybody. Get another set of clothes. You know, if you can make it, come down. But we haven't been close enough to where he lives, you know. And then there was the pandemic and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Speaking of people who wear stuff and you don't know who they are, they hide their identity. I had the worst guest I ever had on Headbangers Ball. And I'm not disrespecting. It was not a good guess, was Buckethead. Cause he just like talked through like a, I don't know. He had like a little thing and it was like, but have you ever seen Buckethead without the mask? Like, you know him, right? Like, you know who he is without the bucket.
I tried to get in touch with him once upon a time. I think it was for the Jason Becker fundraiser. I was doing a fundraiser for guitarist Jason Becker, who has ALS for years, right? Raised money for him. And he's I try to get as many guitar players to come and help and do jams. From what I gathered from people that know him is he's like a Kung Fu master who just studied the world, just studied the guitar. He's in his own zone. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. He's just there doing his thing. So I respect that. I respect people that don't want to socialize, don't want to party. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't care about you guys because I just care about one thing, my art. I am going to be the master and the universe is going to explode. I'm still going to be here. You know, that kind of people. Yeah. So respect to those guys.
And he's prolific with the albums. Like, I've started now. I used to think, who the fuck is going to listen to all this shit? But now I'm listening to it and I'm kind of backing it. Like, Buckethead's got some jams, but I had heard that you knew him or that you once like saw him or something. So I guess that's not true.
I might have seen him when he was playing for Guns N' Roses, but I wasn't sure. I'm not the guy who's going to go and say, you know, I know who you are or anything like that. But I think it's a good thing. Sometimes fame can be there's a dark side in it, you know, that you might want to get, you don't want to deal with. So he's just a guitar master. That's it.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about all the bullshit. That's it.
Yeah, you're right. Because I couldn't believe he came on Headbangers Ball. And I was like, well, what if he's not going to talk? Like, what are we going to do? Like, so I just had to ask him questions and he doesn't say anything. That was like the bit. And it was terrible. but so he didn't get you a guitar or nothing for Becker.
I couldn't get in touch with him.
Okay.
You know, I couldn't get in touch with him. So I don't think he wants to be dealing with a lot of things, you know. It's kind of funny, especially those during the pandemic. I don't want to bother people, you know. You just don't know what's happening to people's lives if they have other things happening, you know.
If
you grow older, right, you realize life is beyond just your guitar and your instruments. There's so many things behind the scenes in the people's families that you don't know. Maybe they're having a bad day because something else. Rock stars, musicians cannot come out and give you a smiley face every time you see them. We are real people. Yeah.
Well, I just wonder, and if you ever get to meet him, just please, for me, find out, does he even like fried chicken? Like, what if he doesn't even like fried chicken? And he wears the fucking bucket.
Because I actually like fried chicken. And I always thought, wow, why would someone have a bucket on their head? You know, you must like it. So I'll be disappointed if he doesn't like fried chicken, you know, personally. Yeah.
Do you think he has a road case for the bucket, or do you think he goes out and has like a runner go get him a fresh bucket? Like, get me a fresh 12 piece. He eats it and then puts
it. Yeah. How do you buy them? Do you go directly to KFC and try to order how many buckets per tour and you don't run out? I mean, imagine if you run out of buckets, it's fucked, or someone sat on it. You can't go on stage. So that's something different, right? That's seriously.
And you can't buy them. I think I tried to buy one time. I tried to buy like a replica one because I was going to put it back here or something. Like, I got to go look and see. Maybe there's someone I can get it from. But Herman, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it. And hopefully I'll see you out there on the road. And shit, now that I know you're not doing the Mad with Power Fest, maybe I got to call your booking agent. Because we got Blind Guardian. We got Hammerfall. We got fucking Night Demon. Our first night is packed with power, with fucking, we got Symphony X. We got some prog in there.
And what date is it?
May 17th.
Oh, yeah. We would have just finished the Death Clock tour.
Fuck.
Out of that. And now, you know, now I have a kid. I don't do so much tours like I used to.
Yeah.
you know.
But you're not going on this. Oh, are you going on this April Death Clock tour with
yeah,
NecroGobblecon?
Yeah, it just got announced today. It's gonna be fun. Okay.
All right. So everybody go get your tickets. Yeah, we had Brendan Small on the show last year, I think it was. He's great. Awesome. That's awesome. Well, thanks again, man. It was great catching up, and best of luck to you out on the road. Maybe, who knows, maybe I'll come out and try to see one of those shows. And if I find, maybe I'll try to get Buckethead to come out, put him on your guest list, see if he'll come out and
maybe bring him back. Maybe I'll try tracking down once I've got some time. I know enough guitarists out there. Someone might be able to.
You can get it. If anyone can find out, it's you. And I'll bring, listen, he's got 300 solo albums. So I'll bring you like 50 and you can check them out. Cause I'm going to try to get them all.
It's got to work. I got Paul Stanley to come out and meet me at the parking lot to give me a guitar. I mean,
no fucking Paul Stanley, way.
Yeah. I went and met him. He said, "Hey, come out. We'll meet you here. I'll get you my signed guitar for the Jason Becker thing." So I got Paul Stanley's. His minutes are expensive, you know? So maybe I can get Buckethead out.
Wow, that's so cool that Paul did that. That's awesome, man.
Great guy. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Great chat. Thank you so much. And thanks, everybody, from Patreon. And thanks to our new producer, Mike. We appreciate you, Mike.
Thanks, Jamie. Thanks so much.
We'll be back with Becky from Merciful Fate weekend. You know Becky?
I know who she is. I think I've met her.
Becky Baldwin on the bass.
Yeah. I think I've met her.
Yeah, she's going to be on week after next. So we'll see everybody then.
Just a quick little outro for that ass. And thank you for listening to episode 694 today. Or maybe you watched it on YouTube. Like, subscribe, hit the bell. And if you're interested in sponsoring the show, hit us up at jostashow@gmail.com. We will be bringing back the hotline to listen to your messages. But all the fan Q&As, all the buy Patreon for Patreon shows go up weekly on patreon.com/josta. Plus, we have the monthly music show, story behind the song episodes, and a ton of other content that you get extra in addition to your subscription here on YouTube. Or maybe you want to subscribe at Gas Digital. .com. The videos will go up first there. Go to Gas Digital Network. Go to gasdigital.com. No network needed. Also, we have the big Hatebreed 30th anniversary show March 17th at the Oakdale Theater in Wallingford, Connecticut. There are still a few tickets left. Go to livenation.com. I think meet and greets are sold out. But if you want to come see us at LDBBB Fest, there are still tickets left. That's March 22nd in Louisville, Kentucky. Go to LDBBBFest.com for tickets. And we will be, of course, at Milwaukee Metal Fest, which right now you can save if you use the code MMF10 when you go to therave.com/MetalFest. Mr. Bungle, Testament, Hatebreed, Municipal Waste, Ross the Boss, Deicide, Possessed, Skinless, Internal Bleeding, and many, many more. Saturday, May 18th. And then we got the big Texas Metal Fest. I think it's May 24th, but I'll send the graphic for Mike to put up here on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. Again, like, subscribe, comment, hit the bell. Do what you got to do to get us back in the algorithm's good graces. And if you're on iTunes or Spotify, rate the episode too. Want to thank IndieMerchStore.com. Go to IndieMerchStore.com. Use the promo code JOSTA10 and you will save 10%. I want to thank Century Media Records, CenturyMedia.store. All the new releases are killer, especially this new Skeletal Remains. And they will be playing Sunday, May 19th at Milwaukee Metal Fest. And right now you can get the Bewitcher Deep Cuts and Shallow Graves double LP on white before it sells out, white vinyl. Bewitcher's playing Friday, May 17th at Milwaukee Metal Fest. Check out CenturyMedia.store after the podcast today. Tell them Josta sent you. What else? Donate to the show if you want. Let us know what guests you want to see or hear from. And big thank you to Dunnable Guitars. The link will be in the show notes. If we do end up getting a coupon code, we'll put that in the next episode or we'll put it in the show notes. But just check out Dunnable Guitars. They are helping us present Milwaukee Metal Fest. All right. We will be back with episode, of course it closed out and now I can't see it. I think it's 695 with Becky Baldwin. Is that right, Mike? episode 695. All right. And then we got a bunch of great other episodes coming up very soon. Kyle Matt Rasmussen from Vitriol. Tim Lambesis finally got him on the show. He's very open, very candid. You're going to want to hear that one. Josh Todd from Buck Cherry, Danny Diablo from Scarhead, and episode 700 coming up with Steve Vai. Thanks, everybody. We're excited to have the podcast back. Drink your coffee, do your push-ups, listen to death metal. Bye-bye.
Produced by Brian McKay. Executive producers Jake Olszewski, Ben Lee, AJ Lewis, Garrett Keeping, Dan Smith, Nick Torito, JJ Hernandez, Joe Bartovic, Jason Jarvis, Chris Larice, Alex Smolin, Todd McKee, John Blewett, Richard Miller, Kyle Marg, Nate Leffingwell, Morgan Costner, Mark Tagg, Zapagor Waikato, Niall Scollard, Kathy D'Ambrosio, Justin Steven, Jack Flanders, the Pit Commander, Andy Wilson, Jeffrey Kuhn, Kimo Humalamaki, Jonathan Metis, Brandon Cooper, Matthew Jankowskis, Jamie Kutcher, Ryan Underkoffler, Matt West, Ryan Maurice, Chad Green, Dallas Hendricks, Jacob Ahrensberg, Kenneth Moore, Kona Butterflies, Stephen Helm, Richard McIntosh, Jeff Stevenson, Ryan Williams, Larry Tooley, Dallas Bolin, Ryan St, Nathan Rex Madrid, Cameron Hendricks, Scandalous Official, Joe Motson, Let's Talk Resident Evil, Andrew Chase, Guy on the Couch, Chris Winchester, Antonio Reyes, Joe Otson, Dustin Stone, Lee Walker, Ryan Levson, John Henkes, Robert Bushaw, Troy Seal, Mark Horror Armenta, Jay Liberston, Nick Fowler, Mike Horgan, Emma Horgan, Arnarok, Patrick King, Oscar Brummett, Stacy Steineke, Fernando Somoza, Patrick O'Brien, Dominique Zimmer, Ryan Sanders, Lara Snyder, Daniel Burt, Milwaukee Metal Sausage, Adam Boss.
Some would say the Milwaukee Metal Fest is the Super Bowl of metal. May 16th through 19th at the Rave Eagles Club, featuring Mr. Bungle, Blind Guardian, Slaughters of Prevail, Testament, Avatar, Hatebreed, In Flames, Camelot, Death to All, Playing, Screaming Bloody Gore, and The Sound of Perseverance, Municipal Waste, Symphony X, Autopsy Playing, Seventh Survival, Catatonia, Deicide, Terrorizer Playing, World Downfall, Possessed, Hammerfall, I Am Morbid Playing, Altars of Madness, plus 60 more bands. Get your tickets now at therave.com/metalfest.